I want to speak on this particular passage that we've read tonight from Ruth chapter 1. And I want us to see Naomi's motivation and to see how past tragedies can become future blessings. For the sake of time, I won't go into the historical context. So famine comes to Bethlehem and the surrounding region, and Elimelech and his family leave Bethlehem for Moab. But this was not a choice that most would have made. After all, they were in the promised land. There was no need to leave the land that God had given them. This was not an option to leave the nation, the country. In Moab, Elimelech died, Mahlon and Chilion marry, assimilating into the pagan culture. They take pagan wives. And Ellicott says this: the fault of settling on a heathen soil began by the father is carried on by the sons in marrying heathen women. For such we cannot doubt they must have been in the first instance. Then after 10 years of their arrival, Naomi's sons die, and she is heartbroken, destitute, and bereft. So, three things from this tonight. I've got plenty of time because the clock has stopped. Motivated by necessity is what we see first. Look with me at verses 1 through 2. Now it came to pass in the day of Judges, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. So they are motivated firstly by necessity because of the famine. So because of the famine, they are seeking some prosperity. And they make a decision that is based on external conditions. Their decision is based on the famine. Now, famines occur at least 15 times in the Bible, and they're usually because of a spiritual condition in a nation that God now sees that he ought to judge. So they were seen in that light. Deuteronomy 11:17 says, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. So Israel was suffering, as we know when we read Judges, because everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That is what Judges tells us. That is what it leaves us with. And it sounds very relativistic, and when a nation does that, it's heading for judgment. So the necessity, they're motivated by this necessity. They're heading towards prosperity when their own land is barren. And they go elsewhere when resources are running low. So a family's personal departure from the Lord means a departure from God's people and also from the place of worship. Moving away from the place of worship is going to end up moving you away from God. And motivated by what we haven't got, a loss of substance is a serious test of our faithfulness. When our resources run out, it is a test of our faith. Will God provide for us in our financial need? Where will the money come from to pay the bills in my famine? Will I be able to pay my credit card bill next month? And who can I turn to if I can't make it through next week? I can't tell the church I'm in debt. I'm ashamed. Will God put food on the table for me when I lose my job, when my health affects my ability to work? These are the tests of our faithfulness to God. And we all go through various trials at some point, and they are tests of our faithfulness. Will we stick with it? Will we keep trusting in our God? Do we trust him to provide in the famines in our lives? Matthew 6:26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" You see, Christian, the thing is, I don't think we appreciate how much God truly loves us and is willing to care for us, because we doubt at the slightest trouble and strife that come our way. It is a test of faith. And sometimes we move too soon before waiting upon God. We try and fix things, don't we? We have a problem, and if you are a problem solver, then you'd like to sort out that problem regardless. You just want to get it fixed straight away. We don't give God the time. Abraham did this and got into trouble in Egypt. Isaac did this and got into trouble in the land of the Philistines. And now Naomi and her family do this and will see great heartache because of that. Motivated by our desires. You see, the thing is, God would have provided for them if they'd stayed. The family fled instead of relying upon God's provision. Is that you tonight? You don't hang around to see God's provision. You don't wait and see God's blessing come in God's time. You're too eager. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come." Though it tarry, Christian, wait for it, because it will surely come. Do we experience a lack and immediately set sail? Maybe that's you right now, trying to get out of a place where you feel there's a lack in your life. That's your famine. You're in a famine right now. You're in a hurry to resolve a problem. Listen, our God is not called Jehovah Jireh for nothing. He will provide. Amen. He will provide in your famine, in your hour of need. Many years ago when I was ill and couldn't work, and we were going through some financial difficulties, and I can remember just before one Christmas, and we didn't have the money to pay the mortgage. It was as simple as that. And we had to pay the money in December, and it was the last post before Christmas, and the post came in the morning and there was nothing, and then the second post came. Remember the day when we had a second post? Yeah, that was good. In the second post, I opened a letter, and it was a friend of mine gifting enough to pay the mortgage. It came in the nick of time. It was a close shave, the very last post, but it was on time. It was a test of our faithfulness and trust in Almighty God to provide for us. Can anyone testify here tonight that God is a provider? Yes. I feel sorry for the rest of you if he doesn't provide for you, but he provides. That is our testimony. Can anyone say that he came through for you when you needed him? Right in that last moment, when I exhausted my avenues and almost gave up hope, he came through. He was there. So God would have provided for them if they'd stayed. It's a test of our faithfulness. Now, Naomi had food in Moab, but she did not have God's blessing in Moab. Watch this. Moving towards material blessing may actually be moving away from the place of spiritual blessing. Initial prosperity soon turned sour in the land of plenty. Get this. Sometimes the land of blessing, the place of blessing, is the land of famine. The land of famine. And God wants to bless us in the famine by bringing us through the famine, so we can see the faithfulness of God leading us all the way. Secondly, motivated by tragedy. Turn your Bibles to verse 3. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people. Motivated by tragedy, shortcuts to material prosperity are short-lived. Naomi is crushed. Her inheritance died along with her family. And she's lost everyone near and dear to her at this time. And she's a widow. And she now looks out on this scene of these three dusty graves in Moab. Imagine that, that permanent reminder of the way that she would see as God having deserted her and her family because they had left. Her hopes, aspirations, all tied to the family, now gone. Be careful pinning your hopes on things that are fleeting, on people. So her tragic circumstances force her to reassess. And with no one else to listen to, she listens for God. Motivated by this tragic loss, she looks for some hope. And stirred by suffering, she listens for some comfort. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people. The Lord had visited his people. She listens for some comfort. And I can bet you that there is someone in here tonight that needs to listen for God's comfort tonight. You know who you are. Like Naomi, you're facing uncertainty perhaps over your future. You're going through a barren time and you need to hear a word from God. Perhaps you need this word from God tonight. Perhaps you need to hear God's word tonight. Well, listen to it. Because Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." 1 Peter 5 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Psalm 22 24, "For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard." And Psalm 56, 8, "You number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" Maybe someone needs to listen for that comfort tonight. And with nowhere to go, she hears God has visited Israel. With nowhere else to go, she decides to go back home. Verse 7. "Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah." Ellicott says, "Her conscience smote her for distrusting the mercies of the God of Israel." So she leaves her family in the Moabite dust, and she hopes that God will receive her along with her people in Bethlehem. Listen to this. This is important. Despite what has happened in your past, God is willing to bless you in the future. Never doubt that. Despite what happened in the past, God is willing to bless you in the future. Don't think he is a spiteful God who punishes you and will want to continue to punish you because of your past sin and mistakes, because of your failings and your flaws. Our God is willing to bless you in the future. What did Jesus say? "I have come that they might have life, and life to the full." And thirdly, motivated by encouragement. Now, verse 8. "And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. She's cutting her family ties. Naomi compels her two daughters-in-law to return to Moab, go back, start again, start afresh, build up a new family, that they may remarry and start over again. Because Naomi saw no hope for herself and no hope for them if they continue to come with her, because she was under God's heavy hand. So she wants to leave them behind and go it alone. It's like that, isn't it, when we've been beat up a bit, when we've had it tough and things haven't gone our way and things not going right in our lives, and we just want to go it alone sometimes. We don't want anybody's help. We're perhaps too depressed. We've been knocked down too many times. And we're tired of getting up each and every time. And we just want to go it alone. And we can't ever see things improving with no apparent prospect of change. So we cut ourselves off. We stop speaking to our friends, those that were there for us. We don't want to take their phone calls. We become inward-looking and cut off our friends, preferring to carry our burdens so that we might even hit rock bottom alone. Perhaps you don't want others to suffer if they come along with you in that journey. So we bid them farewell. But realize, if you are in that position, you're never alone. Jesus said, "Lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age." You can't escape him. Motivated by a blessing in disguise. Verse 10, "And they said to her, 'Surely we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." But, just when you think you've lost everything, just when you think there is no point in going on, when you think all your ties have been severed, when you've abandoned all hope of any help showing up, God has a way of giving us blessings in disguise. Verse 14. "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." Ruth clung to her. She wasn't going to leave. Nowhere. Just when you think that nobody cares what you're going through, nobody cares enough to be there for you, God brings people into our lives that will not give up even when we want to give in. Amen. Jesus isn't going to turn back when we fall on hard times. Jesus isn't going to turn back when you hit rock bottom. Just when Naomi thought she'd go home with nothing, God gave her a blessing she didn't see coming. And maybe you've already got that blessing, but you just don't see it. Maybe you've got a friend that will not leave you. You've got a friend in your life that's always there, always contacting you, phoning you, checking upon you. And they always do it when you're down. They're always staying around when others have gone. Well, God's blessing for you is someone who won't leave you go. And maybe they're already in your life, but you just haven't seen it. Encouraged through a spiritual blessing, verses 16, 17. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you from me." She is now encouraged through a spiritual blessing, this testimony. This testimony of Ruth. She issues this stunning pledge to follow the God of Israel. Naomi went to Moab for material blessing. But watch this. You're probably not going to see this coming. Sharpen your pencils. Get ready for the bombshell. God can use us to lead others to Him even when we're not yet in the right place. Got it? God can use us to lead others to Him even when we're not yet in the right place. Now, some of you can testify to that already because you weren't there. You weren't on top spiritually, and yet God seemed to use you in a conversion experience. He used you to bring someone to Him when perhaps you were in the pit of sin as well. He can use us wherever we are. However backslidden, however spiritually empty, whatever pain, whatever baggage we're still carrying, God can still use us to bring others to Jesus. In conclusion then, when Ruth pledged allegiance to the God of Israel, Naomi had no idea the blessing Ruth was to become. This blessing would not only be for Naomi, but for Israel. And not only Israel, but the world. And the Abrahamic promises in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, we find in this messianic line, the ancestor of David and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is blessed through this woman, Ruth. When your world comes crashing down, I forgot to tell you, that's the title of this talk, by the way. When your world comes crashing down, know that God is able to bring good from bad. Know that He is able to bring joy from sadness. Know that He is able to bring laughter from mourning, hope out of despair. Don't turn and run. Trust Him when things are going wrong. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Stand firm where you are, knowing God's faithfulness. And Naomi left the house of bread in Bethlehem. And one place, a place that one day would see the true famine end, when the bread of life Himself would come down. In the incarnation, He came to us, lived among us, and died for us. And maybe tonight there's someone here that needs to come back to Jesus. Come back to God like Naomi. Or maybe you need to come to Him for the first time. He's the bread come down from heaven. He's the promised Messiah who paid for your sin. Though Naomi saw everything going wrong in her life, learn this lesson tonight. Now watch this. Just when you think everything is going all wrong, it may actually be going all right. God may allow your world to come crashing down, but God's love compels Him to pick you back up. So when your world comes crashing down, know this. Famines are a scarcity of our wants, but never a scarcity of God's love. God has a way of turning our catastrophes into our conquests, of turning our tragedies into our triumphs. And because Naomi faced tragedy in Moab, across could be planted on Calvary. A cross that bore the Lamb of God. One day the world came crashing down upon him. But on the third day, he rose again. When your world comes crashing down, Christian, remember this. God is always there to lift you up. Just look to him, call to him, and he'll be there. Amen.